Well, this makes part three. And so we've been dealing with mountains and valleys. Hallelujah to God. In our last two lessons, we have taken our key verse out of Psalms 23. How many remembers what it was? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I'd like to let us all know today, and my teaching I know is practical. I know that. I don't teach over anybody's head, but I try to get on a level where we all are. But valleys are not a dead end.
Nope.
No. They all lead somewhere. But we got to follow the shepherd.
Yeah.
Oh, praise God. How many's glad for him?
Amen.
Oh, what a guide. Amen. Hallelujah. What we've learned so far, God works both in the high places, and he does his good work also in the low. Now listen, don't ever count God out.
Right.
When you find yourself low in spirit, he's at work.
Yes.
As long as we serve him, he is a working something for our good. And I'm so glad of that. When you find yourself in a low place, there's lessons for every one of us to learn as we serve the Lord. We have to have a desire to follow him. Now, God has a way of showing us to bring us closer to him through experiences, which increases our faith.
Yep.
Come on. Many of these experiences that we pass through in life sometimes are not pleasant.
That's right. Amen.
No, they ain't. Oh, God. But they build us. They make us strong if we let them.
Yes.
All the Lord wants in your life is for you to trust him. He's a saying to each one of us today, dear child, I am with you. Hallelujah. Just trust me and obey. Did you know that we learn by others' failures and their mistakes?
Yes.
Got a whole Bible full from Genesis through Revelation. We have seen many, many failures of people. They lost it all. Some started out good, but they went bad. We learn. Oh, God. You don't have to look very far around you today, and you can see people who have missed it. They're in a mess. I don't want to miss God. This right here is what's kept me through the years. Is the fear of the Lord and my trust in him. Praise God. I remember, this is not in my notes, but I remember when I was first saved, I was having battles. I mean, tell you, temptations and things of the world, everything in the world come at me. And I was clinging to God with everything I had. I said, Lord, I know what you brought me out of. I know what you saved me out of, what you brought me out of the pit. And I remember I went to sleep. Young Christian, didn't have the Holy Ghost yet. Still running the Free Will Baptist churches. But God saw my heart. He knew that I loved him, and I was glad that he saved me from the drugs, alcohol, and rock music. I went to sleep one night, and the Lord's gave me several dreams down through the years. And in that dream, I come to a place at the bottom of this big mountain. It was tall. And there's a little narrow path just like this. And it started right there, and I thought in my dream, I said, I want to go to the top of that mountain. There's a desire in my heart. I want to go. I want to climb to the top of that mountain. I got up there so far, and I looked off to the side of the path, and all over on my right-hand side, there was serpents, there was snakes, they was all kind of sizes, they was big, they was huge, and they was looking up at me. And I looked around, Brother Ronnie the Third, I looked around, and I said, if I had something to kill them, if I had something to kill them, I'll make it on up the path, I'll get to the top of that hill. And I thought to myself, I looked for a rock, a big old rock. I was looking for a rock, Sister Sheila, and if I could pick it up, I'll crush it. I couldn't find nothing. The place I was standing on was just as narrow as it could be. And I said, all of a sudden in the room, I know what I'm going to do. I know what I'm going to do. I went down all the way down. I was about halfway to that mountain. And I said, I know what I'm going to do. And I went all the way down and right at the base of that mountain where that path started, laid my Bible. And I went like this and I said, I can make it to the top of the mountain now. And I remember, Sister Sheila, I went up there with boldness, with faith. I wasn't scared. I wasn't worried. And as I went up, the snakes were gone. Raise your little hand. This right here will give you victory. This right here will put faith in your heart. It's hope inside of these pages.
Yes.
Oh, God. When we read our Bible of people's successes and how they overcame and prospered, we begin to dig into it and read it and study it, and we'll see the hand of God, how it operates, how he moves for his children. I can tell you this, if you'll seek the Lord with your whole heart and listen to him, he will never let you fail.
That's right.
He'll never let you fail. Never let you go down. You know what he's wanting to do? He's wanting to promote every one of us and take us higher.
Yeah.
How many knows that?
Yeah.
God, I want to go higher. I want to learn more. Enlighten the eyes of my understanding, Lord. Let me know what the hope of thy calling is and what the exceeding riches of your grace is. Hallelujah,
yeah,
God.
Yeah.
He'll bring you victory. Now, we're going to get to the interesting part. We all know that God manifests his glory and power on the mountain. But do you really believe that he'll give us victory?
Amen.
In the valley too?
Right.
Yes.
He's already out.
Yeah.
Clara Mary sings that song, God on the Mountain. He's the God of the valley. Now, I know in these lessons that I'm using natural mountains and valleys, but I'm portraying the spiritual. Are y'all ready for this? Let's ask David. What about it, Psalmist David? Have you ever had any battles in the low places? In a valley? Have you? David would say, oh, yes, I've had many experiences that has taught me to trust God. I've learned that I've had to stand up and fight against the enemies that have come against me.
Right.
And when I did, I discovered when I stepped out in faith and I did my part, God stepped in and gave me victory. God's waiting on us a lot of times.
Yes.
He is. He can't do it all. Woo. He wants us to trust him. Praise God. And when we do everything in our power and our might to stand, that's when the sweet Holy Ghost will come down and help you go through something.
Right.
When you feel like you've reached the end, you can look up and say, God, I need you to hold me and help me. Shoo. Let's look at the Philistines. The Philistines has been Israel's thorn in their side ever since they entered the promised land. Oh, God. The Palestinians that you read about in our news today are the ancient Philistines.
Yep.
They are the same bloodline.
Yep.
And they have never left or given up their efforts to remove Israel out of their covenant blessing.
Right.
Oh, God. What are you saying, Brother Tommy? They don't want Israel. They don't want God's people in the promised land. They want to run them out of God's blessings. Listen to me close. I'm here to tell every one of us that's what the devil will do to every one of us today if we let him.
Right, right.
He wants to run you out and shut you out.
Right.
You've got spiritual rights. You got to know your God-given covenant rights in the Word of God, and you got to stand on them. If God makes you a promise and He offers you something good, it will not come free and it will not come easy. You are going to have to fight. Oh, God, help us all today. I'm teaching to myself, too. Nobody's ever had to learn to stand when you've done all to stand. Stand, therefore, yes. Having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, taking to you the helmet of salvation. What's a helmet do upon your head? What is that spiritual helmet for? It's to protect your mind. Hallelujah. Oh God, take the shield of faith whereby you can quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And taking to you the sword of the Spirit. All those pieces of armor are defensive, but one of them is offensive. And that is what you fight with, is the sword of the Spirit. How many knows the Holy Ghost has to have a sword? Hallelujah. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. When we quote the Word, when we read the Word, when we teach it, and when we preach it, amen, the convicting power and the Holy Ghost will come and back up that Word.
Right.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. You have to offer the Holy Ghost. How many's got the Spirit of God living in your heart?
Amen.
Hey, got the Spirit living in there? Won't you offer Him a sword? Won't you get in here and read this? There'll be something I guarantee you, I promise you. If you'll read this and you pray as you read it, you're given the Spirit of God in you a sword to fight against afflictions, trials, temptations, devils. Come on, something will rise up on the inside. The Holy Ghost will rise up on the inside. That's the reason David said, "Thy word, O Lord, have I hid." In other words, in the Hebrew, he said, "I've stored up your word in my heart." Raise your hand and praise Him. Woo! We got our part to play. When we've done all that we can do, God will move for us. You will have to fight doubts and fears.
Right.
And battle the enemy in a dozen different ways.
Oh, yeah.
To obtain your blessings that God has and to keep them.
Right.
Your adversary, your enemy, the devil, is an arch deceiver and a father of lies.
Right.
How does he work, preacher? He works through intimidation and fear. Believe me, he's got a voice that's ever so sly.
Oh, yeah.
And when he sees you progressing, when he sees you praying more, when he sees that you've got a hunger and a thirst in you for God and spiritual things, when that devil sees you getting closer to the Lord, he'll come whispering to your mind.
Oh, yeah.
I know what I'm teaching and preaching here today.
Yeah.
He'll say to you, "Look at you. You're not worthy. It's not for you." Oh, God. Others are better. Others can do it. Others can get it. But you can't. He's a liar.
Right.
Raise your little hand and say, "He's a liar." Oh, God. Oh, God. You're too weak. You can't live it. Listen, the words "I can't" has echoed into the souls of millions down through the years and ages. And they never got where God wanted them. They missed the Lord's best in their life. "I can't. I can't." The devil lied to them. God won't move for you. You don't have any faith. Watch out. You better watch out. You'll just fail. And what then? Listen, Satan will try to run you off and run you out. He don't want you blessed. He doesn't want you to prosper in the Lord and have victory. He don't want God using you. Right now, raise your hand and say, devil, I'm not moving, I'm not leaving, and I'm not quitting. Hey, I've been low, I've been knocked down, but I ain't out. Hallelujah. Ain't you glad of that? Hey, Lord, the devil will come and he'll buffet every one of us through afflictions and trials and temptations and problems and troubles. Hey, Lord, sometimes we feel so low. We're cast down in our soul. But there's one thing about it. Hallelujah. The Bible said that the Lord, when he starts a good work in you, he will complete it and he will finish it. Listen to me, devil. I've come this far by my faith, and I'm still holding on. I'm still in the race. I'm still in the fight. And I made up my mind a long time ago that I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm not going through this valley. I'm not coming out on the other side.
Yes.
Yes.
True, Lord.
Amen. Children, this keeps me praying. When you got a responsibility to teach or preach, when you got a responsibility in you to do a work for the Lord, it'll keep you a praying.
Right.
People coast, and that's the danger they get in. Because when you get laxed, and the more laxed you get, and if you only pray when you come to church, oh God of heaven, you don't have a prayer life and a dedicated place to meet God in your home. Listen to me. That's when the doubts come. Come on, that's when you get weak. I thank God, Ronnie Ray, Holy God, for this responsibility. Because when I reach out and when I pray to get a hold of something, Lisa, to help you and to help you, son, to help you, hallelujah, to help everybody else, God lets me go through things. I have battles. Hey, Lord, what makes a good message? What makes a good lesson? Is when the preacher and the teacher has to go through and he has to experience things before he can be effective to help somebody else. Hallelujah. Raise your little head and say, thank God for the responsibility. I am my brother's keeper. Hey, Lord, he's made me a blessing, and I cannot help you unless I get it myself.
Amen.
Oh, God.
Listen. That's true. Thank
you. Listen. Thank you,
Jesus.
Your desire has to be greater than your hindrance.
Right.
We got a lot of hindrances.
Right.
We got a lot of roadblocks the devil throws.
That's right.
We got a lot. We live in an imagination nation. And I'm telling you, if we could cure this right here, lay your hand on the side of your face right here. If I could get victory right here, Lord, I wouldn't let the devil drag me down so easy and so fast.
Right.
Holy Lord, holy Lord, holy, I feel him here today. Oh, sweet Holy Ghost, I need him. Oh, Lord.
Right.
See, the Holy Ghost is a discerner. He sent us to teach us and lead us in all the ways of righteousness. He'll bring all things to your remembrance, what Jesus has taught and said.
Right.
He'll not let you go astray.
Right.
He is the Spirit of truth. Ain't you glad of that?
Right.
How many's had the Lord to show you things?
Yeah.
They ain't nothing like it.
That's right.
Praise God. Was it David said, thy word is a lamp unto my feet? What's a lamp do?
It shows you the light.
And a light unto my path. That word will dispel the shadows.
Right.
Lift them. I'm glad you said what you said. I was first saved. I was saved in 74. And I remember I was seeking the Lord. I had all my battles, my struggles, and fights. I went to bed. I had two different dreams on this. And I was going up a mountain. And as I was going up a mountain, and it was a road, it was a wide road. This one was a wide road, and about halfway up, it was going around the hill, and it was going to circle and make it all the way to the top. And I looked, and the sun's rays was so beautiful, Sister Sherry, and it was shining. The rays was shining down through the leaves, and I'm telling you, in that dream, it was full color. The leaves on those trees was so big and so emerald green, shining, just glistening. And as I walked on through there in that dream, there was such a peace that I had in my heart just to walk in through there. I was looking up and watching the rays come down through. And there was big honey drops, as big as my thumb. And it was a dripping off of the leaves onto the path, onto that little road that I was on. Big honey drops. And in that dream, I remember I got down and I swooped up the honey and I put it in my mouth. And it was so sweet to my taste. I had another dream. I'm telling you, if you'll let the Lord and get real, real hungry for Him and that's hungry and thirsty for Him, He'll give you dreams to encourage you to keep going and keep praying. In another dream, I remember I was on top of the mountain, made it on top of the mountain. Now, this is months apart. Still seeking for the sweet Holy Ghost. And I remember I come to the top of the mountain, and I thought, I'm going to look over in that valley. And it was way down there. Now, you might laugh, but God can deal with us almost on a child's level when we are a newborn babe in Christ. And I looked from the top of that mountain, Ronnie, way down there. It was so beautiful, lush and green. There was rose. They wouldn't have weed nowhere, and it looked like beans if you would look at bean vines. They was so lush and rose as far as you could see. And hanging, now don't laugh, hanging all over the limbs and all over the vines was candy bars of every size. Sweets was hanging off of all of the vines as far down as I could look, and I watched it go out of sight. How many could say thy word, O Lord? Oh, Jesus, be that ye have tasted that He is gracious. He's sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. Raise your little hand and wave it to the Lord. Nobody can fill you with the sweetness like Jesus can. Right.
But that's how the Lord is. He creates that desire in you spiritually. And when I wake up like that, you know where I go and I pray, Jesus, I love you, I love you, I want more of you. Praise God. All right. Oh, sweet Jesus. David would say to us, I can tell everyone reading my personal testimony, everybody's got a testimony, right? So David's a saying, I can tell you all, when you read my personal testimony of victory in 1 Samuel 17, that every one of God's people has had many enemies.
Amen.
They come to steal and rob and take away if you let them.
Yeah.
We have warred against the Philistines ever since the very beginning. David's saying. And I put a quotation in here. I, Tommy Romans, can tell you here today that I've had physical, mental, and spiritual battles. How many's been there?
Yeah.
And I think the mental sometimes has been the worst.
Yes.
I know I'm saved. I know my heart's changed. But it's the mind.
Right.
The devil wars with the mind.
Right.
I have fought the devil ever since I got saved 51 years ago in 1974. See if you can identify with this. He's never let up.
Right.
He'll try to throw you off the track.
Yes.
He'll try his best to get you discouraged.
Right.
He's come at me every angle.
Right.
The warfare for 51 years has never stopped. Yes, I've had, during that time, I've had blessings. I've had my mountaintop experiences.
Yes.
I've had, and I have known his presence. I've had temptations and trials. I've had oppositions in the spirit realm so fierce that it was all I could do to throw another punch and keep pressing forward.
Right.
All I could do. I feel him here today. I've come through storms, spiritually speaking, that I thought for sure was going to sink and go down and never rise back up again.
Right.
But I can tell you, I have had my seasons of blessings.
Yes.
I've enjoyed many mountaintops of glory and joy in the presence of God. I would not trade my Christian life for any other thing. God has been so good to me. I can say today, Sister Sheila, through it all, the Lord has brought me. And here I stand today. The love and the grace of God and the blood of Jesus has brought me through and gave me victory over the world and over the enemy. What are you saying, Brother Tommy? If God did it for me, He'll do it for you too.
Yeah.
All you got to do is love and keep right on serving the Lord. Don't sit back. Pray and keep going and watch what the Lord will do.
Yes.
He's brought me through. He supplied my every need. He's been the door. He's opened doors that I could not see.
Right.
All right. In our lesson, the psalmist David goes on to say the battles between us, God's people, and our enemies have never stopped. David will tell you there came a time in my life when the Philistines called for their biggest battle ever to defeat us and take us down. The devil himself showed up. Where at, David? In the valley. I remember my people Israel were on a mountain, and the Philistines and their army were on a mountain on the other side, calling for someone to come down in the valley and fight their giant warrior.
Yeah.
Shoo. They sent out their champion Goliath, that stood 9 feet and 9 inches tall, clothed in his flashy armor. Listen to this. His coat of mail, made out of metal plates, covered all of his vital areas from his neck all the way down, shoulders, arms, and all the way down to his thighs. And that coat of armor weighed 155 pounds. The spear that he held in his hand was like a big, huge, long weaver's beam. The sharp spear's head alone weighed 18 pounds. Well, he could take down a whole row of people with that. For 40 days and 40 nights, the Philistines sent their giant down into the valley of Elah. You Israelites that say you serve the true and the living God, send me out a man that we may fight. When King Saul and all the Israelites heard these words, they ran and fled afraid. Oh, God. Preacher, can God give victory in the valley? Yes. David said to Goliath, said that Goliath came out every day and he taunted us and he threatened us. Ain't that just like the voice of the enemy? I can still hear him in my mind, David says, and hear his voice that was causing fears in my brothers and sisters, saying, send me out a man to fight me. If you win, we'll serve you, Israel. But if I win, I'll feed your flesh to the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. You'll be our servants forever. Listen, the devil has never changed. How many can say today, I will not listen to the enemy?
Amen.
I refuse to be ruled by fear. I will not be a servant of the devil and let him run and ruin my life. I know my God's word is true. I know what he gave me. I know what he's promised me. And I'm not going to doubt it. I'm not giving up. I'm staying in church. I'm staying with the Lord, and I'm going to be faithful and committed unto him. There's no time to run, children. You can't run from the devil. You can face him and use the word on him, but you can't run from him. He'll show up. I want to pause here, and I want to say this. Fear has robbed millions of good people that had great potential and a promising future. The fear of failure, the fear of others, has held back many from what God had for them. The fear, spirit of fear. The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. The Hebrew meaning of the word snare and in this verse implies putting a noose, a rope around someone to hold them down and keep them back. Can I ask you, what is it that causes a good person to be afraid and holds them back from obeying the Lord? The feeling of not being good enough. The feeling of not being as good as someone else and what they can do that's better. Afraid you'll flop. Listen now. Fear is horrible and God don't want you to have it. It'll make you cower in the presence of others.
Right.
Fear will do one of two things to you. It'll nail your feet flat to the floor to keep you down and hold you back that you can't progress forward.
Right.
Or it'll put wings on your heels and make you want to run and take flight. Can I tell us here today, there's no running in this thing. Some people have ran for years, never stood their ground, never did conquer their enemy, never faced the giant that was in their life.
Right.
You'd be surprised at the little things in people's lives that are a giant that they feel like they can't overcome it.
Right.
The devil takes little molehills and he blows them up into mountains and say, you can't do it.
Yeah. Right.
You can't make it.
Right.
I don't want to be ruled by a spirit of fear. Oh, God. You all don't realize this, but there have been times I've come here and just, God, if I could just get started in this lesson, Lord, that anointing will come. I always respect God's pulpit.
Anointing takes anointing.
Always. And I want to be what he wants me to be. Shoo. Oh, I don't want to hold back. You got to stand your ground. How many's got a giant in your life?
Yeah.
You know what it is. You don't have to tell me. Everybody has got a giant in your life that stands in your way to keep you from going forward. What is it? We are our own biggest enemy sometimes. Thank you, Lord. Sister Angie, would you get me 2 Timothy 1 and 7? When you find that, would you read it? 2 Timothy 1 and 7.
For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Read it again.
For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.
Let's get back to David. And Goliath, we left that giant boasting and bellowing in the valley. The Bible said that the people of Israel ran in fear and hid when Goliath was hollering and threatening. David said, I heard this man boast. I heard him make threats. I said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? He looked at Saul and he said, let no man's heart fail. Thank you, Lord. Let no man's heart fail. I will go fight him.
Right.
9'9". David said, I'll fight him. Saul told David, he said, son, you are but a youth. That giant is a man of war. Scholars believe and they say that David was between 13 and 17 years old when he looked up into the face of Saul and said, I'll go. Saul was head and shoulders above everybody when God called him to be a king. And here this little boy comes, and he's been out there attending his father's sheep. And he hears this uncircumcised devil out there bragging, "We're going to feed your flesh to the fowls of the air." And everybody's ran, everybody's hid. And he looks at Saul and said, "Is there not a cause?
Right.
Why is everybody doing nothing?"
Right,
right. Hey Lord, if we everyone was down and come to church and we was everyone completely down, who's going to do something?
Right.
Oh God of heaven, Brother Ron. David looked at the king and said, "Is there not a cause?"
No.
Listen to him, King. Don't this bother you? He's going to defeat our people. And the enemy will conquer and will rule us if we all do nothing.
Right.
But I'm not going to let it happen. Saul said, "Listen, son, you better not. I'm telling you, there's people who are trying to talk you out of it.
Right.
Family will tell you, you're making too much of a do out of this. Hey, Lord, you're taking it too serious. Family will try to talk you out of it. People will fill you with doubt if they can. You can't do it." Listen, son, you better not. "Wait a minute, King Saul. You don't understand. I've been with my God out on the mountains, and I have been with him in the valleys too. King, my faith has been built up in my heart out in the fields while I watched over my father's sheep. My father, Saul, he had confidence in me. He put his whole flock, every sheep and every little lamb, in the care of my hands because he knew that I loved him and I'd take care of him. Day and night, I was with him, and I wasn't going to let anything hurt him or take one of them away. My God has taken notice of it all. Oh, King, you just don't know. I've had my victories out there when I believed and had to call on the Lord. When a lion and a bear came roaring and attacked my father's flock, I delivered the lambs out of their mouth, and I slew them both. This uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them. David said to Saul, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Saul said, David, go, and the Lord be with thee. I'll say this. A lot of people's deliverance and a lot of people's blessings, a lot of people's help is hinged on what we ourselves do. If I do nothing, if I let the devil wool me, if I let him bring me down, how can I help you?
Right.
If everybody does nothing,
well,
your family, whether you realize it or not, looks at the light you're shining. They know your testimony. They know how you've lived and come church time, Tuesday and Sunday. They know when your car leaves out of your driveway and come into church. Raise your hand and say, Lord, I don't want to fail you now. Holy God, holy God, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep fighting, dear Lord, the good fight of faith. I have laid hold on eternal life a long time ago. God, I'm going. I'll be a light to those around me. Hallelujah, and influence them. Precious Jesus. Everybody wants to be that light today. Can anybody tell me what David did before he went running toward the giant Goliath? David went down to a brook flowing with water.
In the valley.
Where at?
In the valley.
In the valley. In that valley of trial, David reached down into the running water, and he took out five smooth stones. Why five, David? because Goliath had four brothers. And if I had to take them down, I'd have the stones for them too. Is there a lesson here? Listen, stones with rough, jagged edges will not fly straight. The wind will catch them and blow them off course. They must have the sharp, jagged edges worn off of them. Can I tell us all, David did not go to a stagnant, dead pool of water. He didn't reach down in a mud hole of water. It takes fresh, running, living water to make smooth stones that'll fly right and go right and go straight. Can you say, work on me, Lord, work on me?
Yes.
What's the water typify? The Spirit of God. Work on me, Jesus. The rivers of living water inside of us that flows into inner man. The well of water on the inside. Take the jagged edges off of me, God. Let me be smooth so I can go straight. The shepherd boy David puts a stone in his sling. I was telling Brother Ron about it. It's on YouTube, and it shows this man with a long sling. It looks like it's this long. There's a pouch on the end of it. He puts a smooth stone. It looks like it's about that big around. And he'll swirl that thing and whip it longer and faster and faster and faster. And he lets it go. It looked like about 25 yards out. There was a plate like this, a setting up. He hit that thing. You could hardly see that rock. It went so fast and hit that plate. I believe David practiced over and over and over when he was out there in the fields.
Right.
He didn't have anything else to do.
Right.
My sheep, they're just a grazing and everything's fine so far. I don't hear any wolves a howling, no roaring of a lion or bear. I think I'll play at this sling a little bit here.
Oh my God.
He set up targets at 20, 30, 30 yards out, maybe even further than that. He go down in there and get some smooth stone. He kept it getting better and better and better. How many could say today, Lord, I know that I can do better and better and better.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Practice makes perfect. David puts a stone in his sling and he goes swinging and running toward the giant, toward him. I wonder what was he thinking about as he ran. You're boasting and you're threatening me. You're threatening my precious brothers and sisters. You're threatening God's people. You ain't making me afraid. I'll be one that'll stand up for my Lord and his people. I'm not running from you, Goliath. This is where a lot of people fail. They're defeated in their minds before they ever enter the battle. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. As we close, 1 Samuel 17 and 45, when David got close enough, he said out loud to the giant, "You're coming to me with a spear, sword, and shield, but I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand." And when he got close enough, he let it go, and the smooth stone flew straight and sunk in Goliath's forehead, and down he went face first to the ground. The enemy was defeated and the battle won because David believed in his God.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Don't tell me you can't overcome the devil in the valley. It's in the valley that battles are fought and battles are won. You will have conflicts, but God has made you overcomers. There are many types of battles, physical, mental, spiritual, and financial. But when you learn to seek God and put Him first, He will bring you through it all and lift you up. He'll give you victory and take you over, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. So what can you get out of this lesson today? Valleys are good. They're for a reason. It's there that you learn to trust God. It's there in those low places that your faith is built. And you are taught how to overcome. Let's just praise Him right now. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this day. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You for the enlightenment, God, of Your Word. Jesus, help us, Lord, to notice Your hand through it all. We trust You, God. Oh, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God.